Well, we are continuing our series looking at the great ends of the church. Why does the church exist? If God is handing out a report card for churches, these are the six ways that we believe we are graded. And for reference, all six of those are on the back of your bulletin. Last week, we learned that the gospel is how the good news of Jesus intersects with your very real life. And proclamation of the gospel is when you help someone else see how the good news of Jesus intersects with their very real life. This week, we are talking about the preservation of the truth. And I think this is important in our world today. I often feel like many people have the same reaction to the truth of Jesus that that Pontius Pilate did. In John 18, the Roman governor Pilate is talking to Jesus as he's considering the case that is brought against him. And Jesus says, "For this I was born, for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" That wasn't a real question. It was a snide rhetorical remark. So Pilate is basically saying, truth isn't real. So does truth exist? Can I have my truth and you have your truth, and can they both be true even if they're different? Is all truth relative, or is there such a thing as truth with a capital T? And so that's why I find the phrasing interesting about this great end of the church, the preservation of the truth. That's interesting to me because when we preserve something, we keep it the way it's meant to be. Instead of spoiling, it becomes timeless in a sense. And so we are preserving, we are keeping the truth, the way it is meant to be, not preserving a truth or some truth, but preserving the truth. Not one truth among many, but the fundamental truth. I still remember what one of my professors in seminary said about the Bible. She said that it is the norming norm that norms all norms. You got that, right? And we're not talking about norm from Cheers. A norm is something that you use to measure or calibrate something else. So for Scripture to be the norming norm that norms all norms, it is not just one measure among many. It is the measure from which all other measures find their measure. So maybe you heard about how the metric system recently had things redefined. This very year, they redefined some of the metric system. For example, the kilogram used to be defined as the mass equal to the international prototype stored in Paris. So it was literally a slug of metal stored in Paris. And if anyone touched it with their fingers without gloves on, their fingerprints and oils would get on it, and it would technically change the definition of the kilogram. So they didn't like that, so they changed it this year to be based on fundamental constants in the universe. And so it's a lot harder to explain now, but scientists can reproduce it anywhere in the world and not have to worry about fingerprints on a slug of metal in Paris. It's more fundamental now. Similarly, the meter isn't based on a prototype piece of metal. It's defined by how far light travels in a vacuum in a period of time defined by the vibrations of the cesium atom. It's pretty easy to explain, right? It's really hard to explain, but it's reproducible anywhere in the universe. It's more fundamental. And so when we seek God's truth, the truth with a capital T, when we seek to preserve God's truth, we are trying to look past the relative measures of truth and see God's fundamental truth. Not truth that's relative to some cultural reference point like a piece of metal in Paris. Truth that is fundamental to the universe that God created and is redeeming. Is this making sense? Are you with me? No, but we'll get there. I should also issue a word of warning on this. In the history of humanity, in all of the billions of humans who have ever lived, how many do you think have completely figured out the mind of God? Zero? Right? You could count Jesus. He had some insider information on that. But other than Jesus, no one else has ever figured out the mind of God. So the odds are not all that good that you have completely figured out the mind of God, nor is it all that likely that I have figured out completely the mind of God. We cannot know everything about God, but we can know some things. It is a fool's errand to try to know everything about God, but it's very easy to learn some things about God. It's kind of like playing the game Texas Hold'em. There are cards in the middle of the table, you know, that everyone can see and everyone can use and everyone can reference, but then there's also a whole bunch of things you don't know, what's in everyone's hand. So those cards in the middle are the shared, knowable truth, but you don't know everything in the game until the very end. As we seek to preserve the truth, we are seeking to point to the shared, knowable, timeless truth revealed by Jesus and confirmed by the Holy Spirit. But there are limits to how much we can reliably know. We might have some really good guesses. We might have it down to two or three options, but we can't know everything. We know some things, but not everything about God. In our text today, Jesus is basically doing a brain dump on his followers. This is right before he's going to be betrayed, so he's kind of helping them cram right before the test. Jesus is reminding them of all of the most important points from the last 3 years and giving them a little new information as well. So listen to what Jesus himself says about the truth. John chapter 16. If you are able, please stand for the reading from the gospel. I have said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so they are offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, over the years I have had many interesting conversations with people about conspiracy theories. And one topic, though, really stands out from the pack, both because it matters to me a lot and I have yet to really be able to change anyone's mind. I've had multiple conversations with people who believe the conspiracy theory that the United States did not actually land people on the moon. And there are all kinds of strange things people have tried to point out to me on that one. It doesn't matter how many bits of truth I share, and again, I'm a space geek, so I know a lot of them. I never have been able to change someone's mind on this one. I can point out, hey, you know, the astronauts like put mirrors on the moon. You can still bounce lasers off of them. So someone put a mirror there. We can shoot a laser off of it. Doesn't matter. I could point out, you know, hey, a big rocket did go into the sky. You can't really, you know, smoke and mirrors can't hide a giant rocket going up into the sky. And, you know, the capsule was trackable by radar. So we know a big rocket sent a capsule that landed on the moon. Doesn't matter. But here's my ultimate argument. This one is rock solid. If you ever are in this debate, here's how it goes. The U.S. and the Russians were in a space race, right? A bit adversarial. And we can maybe grant that the Russians are really good at stealing secrets. And can we admit that the United States is really bad at keeping secrets? For example, they stole the plans to nuclear bombs. That's our number one secret, and they were able to get that. So, what are the odds that America could have tens of thousands of people involved in a massive conspiracy to fake a landing, and the Russians didn't know about it? Therefore, since the Russians did not accuse us of faking the moon landing, it actually took place. Rock solid defense. That is signed, sealed, delivered right there. And I tell you this just to make one point, Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's true. In fact, just because you remember it doesn't mean it's true. My older brother is a really good storyteller, and there are a few good stories where I've had to ask my parents, didn't that actually happen to me, not him? And yes, they confirm that that did in fact happen to me, but in the telling of this story over the years, it has gradually, he has taken the primary role in the story. And in his mind, he's not lying. In his mind, it actually happened to him, even though it did not. This is a problem in courtrooms as well, because we rely on eyewitness testimony, and yet scientists know the degree of confidence you have in your memory isn't correlated with the accuracy of your memory. And so here we are back to Pontius Pilate's snide remark to Jesus, what is truth? Well, here's what Jesus says in our text today. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Spirit of truth points back to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the answer to Pontius Pilate's question. The ultimate truth, more foundational than the vibration of the cesium atom, more basic than the speed of light, more reliable than our strongest memories, the ultimate truth is the person and work of Jesus Christ. Here's how Paul summarizes it in 1 Corinthians 15. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. And a little bit later, he says, if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. That's pretty strong language. Our whole faith hinges on this truth. It isn't optional. It is the core. Either Jesus was the Son of God who died for our sins and rose again from the dead to restore our relationship from God. Either that is true, or we are just a conspiracy theory group debating the disappearance of a rabbi's body 2,000 years ago. If you want to find an interesting teacher, if that's what you're seeking, go read Plato, go read Socrates, Aristotle, or if those are too tough, maybe go pick up some Malcolm Gladwell. You know, you get some slightly intellectual, entertaining reading if that's what you're looking for. But if you want a life-changing relationship with the Son of God, go spend time with Jesus. If you're feeling drained and beaten down by your week, what does the rest of the world have to offer you? More work? More assignments? 400 TV channels with nothing on, and ice cream. Although the last one's pretty good. What does Jesus have to offer you? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I want some of that. Or if you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, if you're trying to use retail therapy to feel better, is it working? If you got the best Labor Day sale this weekend, how long will it keep you happy? 2 or 3 days, tops, if you're lucky. But when we know Jesus, we can say with Paul in Philippians chapter 4, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. I want some of that. Or maybe you've tried to find fulfillment through self-discovery or self-indulgence. There's one fundamental truth about those journeys, though. Any journey of self-discovery, self-indulgence always lands right where you started, with yourself. And unless you're perfect, you'll have that same hole in your soul that you had when you started the journey. But Jesus said, If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? I don't want just more self-knowledge. I want a fulfilled soul. And that's what Jesus offers. I want some of that. Sisters and brothers, Jesus is the ultimate truth. Without that, our faith is useless. Without Jesus, we have nothing. But with Jesus, we have a life-transforming relationship with God instead of just some interesting moral teachings. With Jesus, we can be content in every circumstance instead of running the rat race. With Jesus, our souls can be filled instead of being hollowed out with retail therapy and other things that just won't last. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the norming norm that norms all norms. Jesus is where it all starts and ends. Everything else is just trying to sell you something. Jesus is the truth. Do you want some of that? Amen.